It's great to be here tonight. Thank you for coming to church and allowing God to change your life, because we're all going to be changed. We're already changed. I don't know about you, but it's just so amazing to be in the presence of God and just to submit to Him and just to open up our hearts. Because, you know, God wants just your heart. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. And I'm not normally the confrontational type of person. I like everybody to just experience God and feel the love in the house and connect with each other. So tonight I'm sort of going to be a little bit give a challenging word, because I just want to be obedient to God. Pastor Fred and Lucille, yeah, thank you. That's, yeah, I need prayer. Okay. So Pastor Fred and Lucille, they in London and Switzerland. They SMS'd me, when was it, last night? They're doing a trip there. We're trusting God to start a church in Switzerland. And we've got three churches in London. If you didn't know about that, one of our core purpose statement things that we want to do is to raise up leaders, make disciples, and to do church planting. And that's why all of you must think, when you go from this place, if you're a student, you must trust God and say to God, God, not Lord, provide a job for me. You must say, Lord, where do you want me to go? Because once you've heard where God wants to send you, then God is going to provide a job there for you. Don't first pray for the job, pray where God wants you. And when you follow Him, He's going to provide for you. Okay, I'm going to give you some nuggets tonight, spiritual nuggets in the service, about 10 of them. And some of you are going to miss it, and some of you are going to get it. The sharp people in the place, I trust it's all of you, are going to get it, and some of you are going to miss it. So you better be ready for that. But we're gonna challenge each other a little bit tonight, and then at the end we're gonna repent. Repentance in Scripture is one of the most amazing things. It's when we turn to God. We don't run away from God, but we turn to Him. So tonight we're gonna do a bit of repentance at the end, and we're gonna turn our hearts to God, and we're gonna say to God, God, Your ways, not my ways. I'm preaching tonight. The sermon's name is God is perfect, and I am not. God is perfect and I'm not. Okay, so let's go. Are you ready? Are you ready? You ready to? Okay. When you listen to a sermon, don't think in terms of receiving something. Think in terms of that you're going to need to live out this sermon. Think in how this sermon is going to apply to your life when you get to studies tomorrow and when you get to a work situation. Otherwise, you're going to get deceived. If you're sitting here tonight because you want to receive a nice sermon, you're going to get deceived. You must think in terms of, I want to do this. I want to apply this in my life so that tomorrow and Wednesday, I haven't forgotten about it. It's actually become real to me, because I want to be a doer of the word. I want to apply it to my life. And so it's very important that we become doers and not just hearers. Otherwise, we run after experiences and we try to experience God, and then we have like a psych up, and then God becomes like a drug to us. He sort of pumps into our veins. We've got a lack of high. We had a great time. We walk out here and we say, oh, that was a nice sermon. Oh, that was sort of almost their sermon. Oh, that was a great sermon. And then tomorrow morning we've forgotten, and we go on with life, and the distractions of this world take us away from what God actually wants to do in our lives. Okay, so God is perfect, I am not. In Luke chapter 18, verse 19, and this is what we must all know, is God is good. God is good. Jesus said this. He said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. So very simply, we need to start tonight by laying the foundation by saying, God is good and you are bad and I am bad. That's what Jesus says. God is good, and He is always good. God cannot change Himself. He's omnipotent, He's omnipresent, He's everywhere, He's all-powerful. God is omniscient, He's all-knowing. God knows everything, and God cannot change. Do you know, as you're sitting here tonight, you're busy changing. You're losing some skin, your blood is going through your veins. Lots of things are changing as you're sitting. But the only constant thing in this room tonight is God. That's why we can trust Him. God cannot change. So when God says God is good, it means He's always good. And what the devil has tried from the beginning by tempting Adam and Eve, and Eve specifically to start with, he said, well, maybe God is not good. Maybe what God said is not the best for you. Maybe He is not good. Maybe you are going to become like Him if you eat that apple, and then things are going to be better than where you are right now, because you've got something missing. And when that something is added to you, then you are also going to be like Him. So the temptation right from the beginning was whether God was good or not, whether what he said was true or not. And you know, God, the Bible says we can always trust God because he's always good. When he deals with us, it's always out of a goodness. It's not because God is angry, not because he wants to slap us. It's not because he wants to change us. It's just out of his goodness, because he cannot be something or someone else than who he is. He's good. Okay. The second thing that we need to know is that God is perfect. God is not just good. God is perfect. So when you and I sit here tonight and when we worship God, then there is absolutely nothing that you and I can add to God. God is not changed through your worship, through my giving, through my worship, through my sacrifice, through coming to church. There is absolutely nothing that I can add to God. And there at the end, verse 48, it says, so then God says, you know, don't just greet people that you want to greet. Don't just love those who you want to love, because then you're a hypocrite. But he says very simply at the end, he says, so then be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect means perfect, 100%. So that if you and I sit here tonight and we come to church and we say, oh, you know, I'm going to add something to God. I'm going to make God feel better. He doesn't need to feel better. Are you with me? Simply, you can add nothing to God. He's perfect. God knows what's happened 3 years ago in your life, and he knows what's going to happen 30 years from now in your life. God knows exactly everything, and he's perfect, and there's absolutely nothing, not your prayer, nothing that can add anything to him. Can I have an amen? Okay, so we're just laying a foundation a little bit. So, the man, in essence, we try to be good. We try to feel good about ourselves, and we try to, in a sense, do good things, because there's nothing wrong with doing good things. But Jesus said here, another scripture that we go to in John chapter 15, verse 5. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Okay, so we've learned that God is good. God is perfect. But the next thing that we need to know is Jesus said, unless you're in me, unless you understand who I am, you can absolutely do nothing. Now, when God speaks, he does not speak in the form of suggestions. Have you noticed that? It's not the 10 suggestions. Have you read the 10 suggestions lately? God has suggested that maybe he must be number one in your life. No, it's commandments. Most of the things that Jesus spoke was in the form of absolute commandments, the truth. Because God cannot lie. When he says something, it is the truth. It's going to happen. And I love kids, you know. Kids just believe their parents. You know, we had an SAS training, which is a school of the supernatural, last week in Tableview. And we taught on healing, how you must pray for people, for the sick. And then we let everybody in the school do it. And this little five-year-old boy came up to Reino's dad, and he prayed for him. I can't even remember exactly what he prayed, but he basically prayed, said, Lord, heal him, and devil, get out of his life. So Reino's dad had like a chronic pain in his back for the last 10 years. I think he went to the doctor many times, and there was just, he stopped jogging 10 years ago because he couldn't walk up straight. And here a little five-year-old boy walks up to him, lays hands on him and says, Jesus, heal him. Devil, get out of his life. And he was healed instantly like that. Hello. So if a five-year-old can trust in the word of God and what God says, do you know what? The problem is just sometimes we grow up a little bit and then we start to live balanced lives, and then we start to sort of focus and begin to determine our relationship with God based on our experiences. So then we stop praying for the sick because we think God doesn't heal anymore. But when we understand what Jesus came from and where he came from, he said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Now, I want to tell the people sitting here in front, and now nobody's going to see me on the camera, but that doesn't mind. You cannot sit. Louis, did you know that? You cannot sit on this chair without God helping you. You cannot breathe without God helping you to breathe. You cannot think without God being with you and doing stuff in your life. God upholds your life whether you know him or whether you don't, you can do absolutely, absolutely nothing, nothing. The Greek word, when you go and study the Greek and the Hebrew for the word nothing, it's a very deep word. It means nothing. Have you realized that? Nothing. Nothing. You can say it like that for Chinese, or you can say notong, whatever you want to say for the Japanese. It means nothing. Okay? So when you and I sit here, if at all we think that you can be independent from God or do stuff on your own, you're believing a lie. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. Whoa. Okay, first chicken nugget for the evening. You and I, we are here to serve God. God is not here to serve you. I'm going to say it again. You are here to serve God on the earth. God is not here to serve you. In the modern church, in the charismatic church, everything that we do is about God serving us. Lord, give me a nice experience. God, come and serve me with a miracle. God, I need a nice job. God, I need you to bless me. God, help me in my studies. God, help me, Lord. Lord, come and do something for me. Lord, please, wake up earlier this morning, pray for me and intercede for me and come and serve me because I am the center of this relationship. That's what we say to God. That's not what Jesus said. You are not here to be served by God. And so we preach a gospel and we say, God loves you and God has got a great plan for your life. Nonsense. God has got no plan for your life. God has got a plan. His plan. And if you and I are going to stand in the way of his plan happening in the earth, he will remove you. You read the Old Testament? Now remember, God cannot change. There's not a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're talking about love here tonight. So if you understand we can do absolutely nothing without God, then we need to recognize that God has got a massive high standard. He's perfect. And you and I, there's nothing we can do to reach that standard in our own strength, in our own ways, in our own trying. There's absolutely nothing you can do to get to God's standard. Because God expects perfection. But how many perfect people in the house? Raise your hand. If you raise your hand, you've just lied. You're imperfect. Okay? One of the greatest things that are lacking in the church of God is called the fear of God. I'll talk a little bit about that. In Psalm 25, verse 14, it says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The fear of God is not a negative thing. It is just a good, healthy understanding of who God is and who you are and I am. The fear of God is not like a trembling, God is going to squash you, he's going to kill you, he's going to destroy your life. No, it's just very simply an understanding that you are not God, and I am not God. And it's a healthy relationship that we have with him, because God is not your surf buddy, and he's not a little thing, a magician that you can call out and say, come and do something for me, because he's just waiting to do something for you, because he's always at call for your and my need, so that he can just come and do that. Hello, it's getting very quiet in this place. Okay, another chicken nugget. Let me just find it. Okay. The fear of God is not understanding that God is not man or like us. Meaning God is not man, he's not human, and he's not like us. He's different than us. That's the fear of God. When you and I understand who God is, and that he's the creator of the universe, and that he's in control of everything, then we approach God a little bit differently with respect. We approach God not as my little thing that I can pull up and now I just want to do whenever I'm excited about something, because lots of the things that we do in the charismatic church are just emotional shows. I don't watch Christian TV anymore because I'm just thinking, my God, what is happening? What has happened with us? That we can point the finger to God and say to God, God, you come and do something for me. You know, the other day we went on holiday, and it was just one of those life-changing moments when, you know, my wife and I, Louise, and the kids, we went to Angus's farm, and I went to drink coffee there the one morning with him. And after a long chat, you know, he always tells somebody, you know, he says, we're gonna chat, and I'm going to chat for 5 minutes, then you chat. And then 2 hours later, I get an opportunity to chat for 5 minutes, you know. He always just bubbles over of what God is doing in his life. But at the end of this meeting, the morning, as we were standing there in his little study, he was saying, he looked up at me and he got this sort of this look in his eyes. And he said to me, see us, there's one question that I have for God. That's a very simple question. God, why do you use somebody like me? Why, Lord, do you use somebody like me? And then I realized that's why God uses him. And if you talk about to him about what are the things that has been keeping him in ministry for 30 years, almost 40 years, then he would always tell you the fear of God, faithfulness, contentment. Those are not the stuff that we write on our walls because why? We want the love of God. Lord, that you love me so much. But ask any person that has run 30 or 40 years, they'll always tell you, I've got a healthy understanding of the fear of God. Now, there's a story in Leviticus 10. We're not going to read it, but it's a scary story of two sons of a priest that just decided, well, they're just going to go into the temple and they're going to take fire. And it's actually fire that has been consecrated to idols. So they take it and they just wave it before God. And in the next moment, you see God, ka-dum! There they go. Gone to be. No more. And then you see this side of almost like, you know, what has happened here? And then you begin to understand that God is a holy God. He's separate. And especially when it comes to the things of God, we must have a healthy respect for who he is. Otherwise, you get to a place where things begin to happen to you that you don't understand. Because scripture says, consider the goodness of God, but also the severity of God. And if you and I understand that this God is awesome, he's the creator of the universe, he's in control of everything, and I'm dependent on him alone, there's absolutely nothing I can do with him, then you stop playing games with that God. And I want to specifically talk to the students and the younger people here. Don't play around with the things of God. This is not a joke. This is a life and death relationship. Don't think you're doing God a favor by just hanging and doing little bits here and little bits there, and then you think you're good through what you do. No, no, no. Jesus is coming back. And read the book of Revelations. It's not funny. It is actually, scripture tells every time he says he's the one with fire in his eyes, the one riding on a white horse, the one where the earth trembles when he speaks. And there's that side of God that the church has been lacking, and especially the church, the charismatic church. We've been walking away because why? We want to have experiences of God's goodness. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's great when you feel that you're discouraged and God comes to encourage you. Because he's love. He is love. He cannot do something else. But there's a side of God that we reject, and then we don't understand why the power of God is missing in the church. Because we love, 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 love me, love me not. He loves me today. He loves me not today. Oh, I'm depressed. Oh, I don't feel his love. Oh, God, where are you? I'm going to get offended. Where are you? Yeah? But that's what we do. I'm just overemphasizing a little point there. Okay. Because I'm not fighting with you tonight, but I just want us to have a healthy respect, because some of your lives are going to change tonight because you're going to come to God in the right way, not disrespectful. You see, God is good But he's not nice. He's good. And that goodness and his love includes discipline and includes you and I, that we walk the road that he has called us to when the whole world is going in another direction. Then you have to say, God, this is the road. God says, this is the road, walk in it. So God is good, but he's not a nice sugar daddy, somebody up there that, ooh, come and do something for me. Ooh, I want to feel good. Ooh, and then you see people just, you know, that's nonsense. You know, even in this week, I got freaked out. There was a guy, I won't say where it was, but this guy came and we were talking there. He had one of the courses, and then he came and he said, oh, you know, he said, I touched this leader's hand, you know. It's not somebody in our church. I'll kick you out of the church if you say that ever. But personally, you know. And then he said, oh, I'm not going to wash my hand because I finally touched the man of God's hand. Oh, it is so wonderful. Oh, I'm going to faint. I thought my chona. That word chona machantas came up, you know. How can you idolize a person? Because that man can do nothing for you. He's just a messenger from the God of heaven, the King of Kings. We should tremble before God. We should be excited that God has touched us, but not that people. And I sort of thought, oh my God, now we're growing up in a generation where there's just lawlessness. Everybody does what is right in their own eyes. So we run around and then every second person comes here to town and have a nice whatever. And then everybody goes there, phew, because we're going to have a great experience. We're going to psych ourselves up again. Then we run off. Forget about your small group and the people that God has called you to be accountable to and have been in a relationship, because you're going to go to a new thing and experience a new thing. And ooh, let's go all there because we're going to be pumped up. We're going to get an injection again from God. And you know, God is good and his loving kindness and his love and all that stuff. And every time he's going to touch you until you open up your heart for him to touch you in a different way, where his fear comes into your life, where you begin to understand. Now, we're living in a time like Jesus did for a specific area. And I'm going to be very honest. I'm already, I think, very honest with you tonight. Is that all right? This is not my natural type of preaching, where I'm confrontational type of stuff. My weakness in this life is, like I said, I want everybody just to have a great experience, enjoy God, be touched by God. And that's all that stuff. But God is going to touch us in a different way tonight. So yeah, what happened with Jesus, the question that many people have is, why on earth don't we see the miracles that we saw in Scripture? Why isn't there a free flow? Why doesn't God take over and just healing breaks forth and miracles and people get out of the wheelchairs and all that stuff, which is very simply is our inheritance. God has not changed about it, so it's supposed to happen. But we're going to read about a story of a couple of people and a group of people that, in a sense, did not experience that. It's found in Mark chapter 6. Are you still with me? Hello. Just wave at me there at the back. The doors are locked outside, so you can't go anywhere in any case. Okay. Okay, Mark chapter 6. Isn't this the carpenter's son? This is now what they ask about Jesus. Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us? And so they took offense at him. This is the people from Nazareth. And some stuff happened there. Jesus walks through there. Jesus was excited. Jesus just wanted to be himself. Now, let me tell you, God is a healer. Jesus is a healer. He's a deliverer. He cannot be somebody different than what he says he is. So when he says, I am here to heal you, he always heals. He always delivers. He always sets us free. Why? Because he cannot be somebody else. Otherwise, he's a liar and then he's not God. But no, there's a problem here in Scripture. They took offense of him. Offense comes through people that have the wrong expectation of somebody or something. You get offended when you have an expectation that something is going to happen and it doesn't happen. Or somebody is going to do something and then that person either rejects you or they do something different. They do something wrong. They do something bad to you. Now you get offended with the person because what you thought this person is going to do, they didn't do. They actually turned around and they maybe hurt you in a way. And so offense is like all over the place. And Jesus said in the last days, offense is going to be one of the things that by which we're going to know that's going to happen in the church. Deception, but there's going to be great offense. And the problem of that offense is very simply is because people have a wrong expectation. So they thought this Jesus walking around, they thought, who on earth is this man? I don't have an expectation of him to heal or to be the Messiah, so I'm going to be offended when he says that he is. Okay. So in the charismatic church, I want to stand here as a leader of the charismatic church universally, and I want to repent towards you. I want to say I am sorry for us many times preaching a watered-down, diluted gospel. I say I'm sorry. Please forgive us as leaders of the charismatic church in the world today because we have created the wrong expectation of what Jesus will do for you. I am really sorry. Please change your expectation. Because if I read of a Jesus in the Bible, he says to me, "And you cannot follow me unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Blessed is he who leaves mother and father and wife and husband for my name's sake, for greater is their reward." He said to the rich man, "Unless you sell everything, you will have no part in me. Once you've put your hand to the plow, don't ever look back. Otherwise, you don't have a part in the kingdom of God." Now, see, this is not what we hear because we say, come to Jesus because he really loves you because we want to fill our church. We want you to feel good. We want you to have a nice experience so that you'll invite your friends and bring more people. And we'll grow the church. And then many times it's just a massive big show. Scripture says, come to Jesus, repent, turn from your wicked ways and come to him because he's going to give you life. But it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you to where you sit on your throne, to get off your throne and say, Jesus, here I am. I bow my knee to you. I lie before you because you are the only one worthy to be worshipped. Here I am, Lord. I don't have a clue about this life. But Lord, I bow my knee before you. I lay flat on my face before you because I realize, Lord, you're the only one that can save me. Jesus, please save me. Give me a new life because I don't need a secondhand life. I don't need a patched up life. I need a completely new life because I just need you so desperately, Lord, and I'm willing to lay down my life for you. Amen. But you see, if we have the wrong expectation and you've walked in here tonight because you just want to have a good experience, then you're going to get offended when the truth is shared. Then you're going to get offended with the first suffering that you have, or the first thing that goes wrong, or the first prayer that does not get answered. And that's why so many people all over the world are leaving the charismatic church and some, because we're not preaching the right gospel, except in the East, except in the persecuted church. But the church in the West, we're going on like, Jesus, come and show us something. Come and help us here, Lord. Come and do something. Lord, make my job nice because I want to have a nice job because you're a nice God. It's very quiet in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Then Jesus said to them, the second thing that he said about these people, he said, very simply then, verse 4, he said, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own house. And then he says he was not able to do a miracle there except to lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed because of their unbelief. And then he went around the villages and thought. So Jesus comes there and he thinks, what on earth is happening here? He said, many people, the first thing there, many people got offended. But the second thing he says, there's no place of honor. There's no understanding of the fear of God. There's no respect for what happens in the spiritual realm. So people run to and fro and there's a lawlessness and people just do whatever they want to. And they just run after their feelings. They don't have an idea what it means of covenant and relationships because, you know, there they go. You know, two months ago, this guy, one guy wrote me a letter and he said, oh, you know, I am moving on. Thank you for the 3 years of blessing me, but I have found greener pastures. Scripture says, blessed is he who is planted in the house of God. Have you ever seen trees jump around? But you know, if you're going to be flaky like that, you're going to jump around and your life is going to fall apart. Why? Because nobody, you don't allow God to settle some things of who he is in your life. That's why you have to stick with the relationships that God has given you. You have to hang in there. Because sometimes it's not going to be easy. Iron sharpens iron. And I love, that's what I love about marriage, you know. We did an SOS here in Stellenbosch yesterday. And we sort of, there comes a time when we trust God for words of knowledge for people. And so the one guy taught on healing. And so it was wonderful, you know, he taught on healing and he gave some testimonies, all this stuff. And then one of the ladies came up and she said, after many people came to the front that were very specific words, you know, there was a word for a guy who on his third teeth at the tooth at the bottom is sore, you know. And the guy, I don't know, you know, but he's not really committed and all that stuff, but his life changed there because for the first time he realized there's a God, you know. How on earth did that person know that my third tooth here on the bottom on the right is sore? But so this guy who taught was standing in front, and then a lady came up and said, no, there's somebody here with your left big toe is like, there's an ingrown toenail and there's lots of pain and all of that stuff, and God wants to heal you. Where are you? So nobody responded. And then again, she said, but, you know, and I asked, is there somebody like that in the room here? And then this guy's wife jumped up at the back. She said, it's you. Honey, it's you. The one who taught now, you know, the wife at the back taught up. And he said, Oh, yes, it's me, yeah. I just loved it because God gives you a wife to make you show what your weaknesses are. I mean, so he's like in spiritual cloud nine thinking about ministry. And meantime, his wife says, it's you. yeah. I love it when God just exposes us sometimes, yeah. Because, you know, I'm just human. I need lots of prayer. I need lots of stuff. I'm desperate for God. Without God, I can do nothing. Love what Angus always says. I'm just one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. Hello. But you see, these people, there was no honor for the prophet in the house. There was no honor for leadership and submission under authority. There was just lawlessness. And because he came in there, they did not honor him as the Messiah, and therefore they could not receive from him. And so the big problem is when you and I take God, this almighty God, and we bring him down to our level and try to make him human, then there's no honor. Because God cannot operate on our level because he's different than us. God cannot come and serve us, we must serve him. That's why it always says, draw near to him and he will draw near to you. The moment when that happens, you're connecting. That's why you say, Lord, let heaven come on earth. Let your kingdom come in my life because I need your perfection to manifest here. Hello. The last thing this is was just full of unbelief. Jesus marveled and was amazed at their unbelief. Whoa. Because they brought Jesus down to their level. Is this not a carpenter? Is this not an ordinary man that we've known all our lives? Is this not a... You see, the I, myself, me focus quenches the Holy Spirit because it cannot release God for who he is in our lives. And so what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Whoa. He says, I've come to understand that if I understand that God wants me to come to a place, and let's just go to the previous scripture there. There's something that God requires of you and I. He doesn't want perfection because we cannot give him perfection in ourselves. But it says very simply in Psalm 51, it says, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So very simply, God says, I don't want your sacrifice. I don't want you to come to me and say, Lord, I'm going to try to be good, or I'm going to try to be perfect. Don't try and be perfect and don't try and be good, because God does not expect that from you. What he expects of you is to open up your heart to him and to tell him honestly what's happening in your heart. And the moment when you do that, God can be God. And this is what David writes after he sinned with Bathsheba. He said, oh Lord, I just realized I can slaughter 300 bulls here. I can do a lot of stuff. I can throw out all the stuff here for you. I can, you know, to make this thing right, because I've sinned terribly here, Lord. I've missed your purpose in that. I just went to sin with this lady. So another chicken nugget. Sin is very simply denying the goodness of God in your life. Sin means for me to deny the goodness of God. That means you choose something else instead of the goodness of God. You go and find acceptance in something else than accept instead of who God says he is. You should believe a lie instead of the truth of what God says over you. Sin is just a denial of the goodness of God and the perfection of God. Is where you say to God, I'm going to sort it out myself. It's very quiet in this place now. But so what God requires is your heart. He wants you to open up your heart. And when you and I open up our hearts and we're just honest with him, we just say, God, this is, I'm broken. Lord, I haven't got a clue. Lord, and I'm not going to even try and fix myself. Because some of you try to fix yourself and you're never going to be perfect. You're never going to be good enough because you're trying to live up to other people's expectations or to your own expectations. Because in a sense, the human race, what we want to do is we want to bring something to God. We don't want to receive from him and say to him, we cannot do it. We want to put something on the table. We want to do a sacrifice. We want to work by a formula because in that sense, we're going to feel like I've done something. I cannot be so vulnerable to say this to this almighty God. God, I'm here. I cannot. Please help me. This is what Paul talks about in the next verse. He says, I will boast in my weaknesses. I will come to stand before him and say, God, I thank you for open heavens because of what Jesus has done. Can somebody say amen in this place? Okay. You see, because very simply, there's something inside of us that want to be perfect before we come to God. And you're deceived if you try that. You can't be perfect. And once you realize that, something amazing is going to happen in your life. You're going to allow yourself to make mistakes because God allows you to make mistakes. Let's take it home a little bit, more personal. Some of you are sitting here and you are so afraid to go out in a relationship with a lady or with a guy because you think that you must be perfect and you must be right because you're so afraid that you're going to fail. Thank you for that. Amen. Came at the right place. A guy wrote to me in this week, and he's up in another church, and he said to me, he's so afraid to go out with this lady because all of the friends that he has are her friends. So if he's going to miss it, if he's going to fail with her, then he's going to fail with all of them. Then all of them are going to think he's got a reputation. So he's so afraid that he's going to fail that he'd rather do nothing. And you know, that is the life of so many Christians when it comes to God. So afraid of failing that we'd rather do nothing. God, no, when you give me 3 signs and 70 this, then I'm going to start to do something for you. But God is not looking for perfection. Do you know, I've got a little boy. I've got 3 kids. My youngest one is 3 years old. I told you the story before. But one day he came running and he said, Dad, Dad, I did not poof in my pants. I said, wonderful boy. Josh, fantastic. Because for the last 2 years, we've been trying to fix this thing, but it's not fixed. You still poof in your pants. You have nappies and all that stuff. But this time, he didn't poof in his pants. So yeah, I'm very excited, you know. Woo! First day. Freedom, you know. So I come around the corner. I go down the aisle. And then the next moment, I see, whoops. Because right just before you get into the toilet, he has made his mark on the carpet. Just before you go into the door at the toilet. It's beautiful. It was standing there up. It was like a... It was the perfect, perfect fixture. It was like an engineer. He's going to be an engineer. I saw that. I saw it, you know. Now, some of your imaginations are going too wild here with you, okay? So here I'm going, and I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, how on earth am I going to handle this now? Almost there, son. Yeah? 1.5 meters away. close, but yet so far. Yeah. But then I went to that stuff on the ground there. I took his hand. And we stood next to the offering and the sacrifice. And we had a celebration service. We said, thank you, Jesus, that it wasn't in his pants. Because he's progressed. He did something. Lord, we offer it as a sacrifice up to you. A burnt offering. Okay? But something changed in my life that day. Because I realized my first reaction would have been, you bad boy. That's worthless. Do it right. Get onto this. You must be perfect. This is nonsense. Let me give you a hiding. Slap him through the face. No, we don't do that. But you know what? Many of us expect that God is going to do that with us when we fail. Why? Because we think God wants us to be perfect. But I'm a good dad. I don't do that to my son. Why? Because I love him and because I'm good. So every bit of progress is like, wow, we're going to celebrate that. Why? Because I'm good. Because I want you to grow. So people, I'm saying this straightforward to you. Stop fearing making mistakes in relationships. And if you make a mistake, then we are going to say, hallelujah, at least you tried and you did it respectfully. But stop this spiritual nonsense where we always try to be perfect and then we think as if marriage is actually going to rescue you from the bad world that you're in. Don't try to grasp for other things and now you have this massive expectation and then you get offended because the expectation was not met in marriage and then you end up being divorced. Because if you do that, what's going to happen is you're going to put pressure on that other person to be perfect. And then that person is going to stand up and say, you've got the big toe in front of all these people. And then you must slick and say, humble me, Lord. No, you don't need to. My wife just did. Okay? And that's the most amazing thing. If the pressure is gone in marriage, in our relationships, and especially between us and God, we start to enjoy the life because we're not expecting perfection. We're growing together. And that's what Paul talks about. He says, I will boast in my weaknesses. I will boast in those things that I cannot do. I will boast in those things because I understand that his grace is made perfect in my weakness. I'm not talking about sin here, because sin must be repented of. If you're in adultery, if you're sleeping around, you must repent of that sin. I'm talking about weakness. So, you know, I must learn to confront people because I love them. I must learn to be honest with people and straightforward, and I'm learning that. That's why I'm preaching at you tonight, telling you the truth because I love you. But you know, there's a false lying thing. There's a dualism between us and God where we try to play God in the relationship and we don't know why he doesn't do what he said he will do. Hello. You see, people don't want to know your doctrines. They don't want to know how much you know. They want to know whether Jesus is real in your life. They want to know whether Jesus is real in your life. They want to know if you can come and you can break before God and say, God, I haven't got a clue. I still tell you, I haven't got a clue. I'm still discovering. I'm still work in progress. But I've offloaded the pressure of myself to try and be perfect or try to be super spiritual. And then you see, every person around, we try to formulas and we try to do all that stuff. We try to, in a sense, try to be good before God. And then God says, no, it's only when you're with me that I'm going to make you and I'm going to help you. I will not ask you to do something which I have not done myself. Ooh. Pressure off. Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. But you understand who he is. Are you with me tonight? So I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon you. But sometimes what we do is we want to be super spiritual. We want to tell the whole world that we've made it, you know. But they just want to know whether you're real. What has happened in your life, what Jesus did? And go and share it with the world. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, last scripture. Talks about Jesus and says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How God gave Jesus the Holy Spirit and lots of power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Heaven came on earth through Jesus because he understood. We're going to read Garden of Gethsemane, how broken. He said, God, I don't want to do this. God, I don't have a clue. Lord, but if this is your will, I will do it because I know you're going to give me the strength to do what you've called me to do. Lord, I'm weak, but you're going to be strong. And see, the moment when you come to break, the moment when you come to open up your heart, then God comes and he starts to flood you with his peace. He starts to flood you with his grace. He starts to flood you with his perfection. And that is what Jesus prayed on the cross. I love some translations. I think it's the New Living Translation. It does not say it is finished, tetelestai. It actually said, it has been perfected. It has been perfected. When Jesus hanged on the cross, he said, I don't do secondhand jobs. I have perfected the work of God. I've come to fulfill what God has called me to do. And I've come to open up a way for other people to be perfected through my blood that I'm shedding for them, so that they can have boldness to come to me because of that freedom. But they're not trying. They're not trying to be perfect. No, they already believe they're a blessing. So some of you here tonight, you disagree with what God says about you. God says you're a blessing and you don't believe that. You believe a lie. Because if God says you're a blessing, you've made in his image, then it means you're no junk. Jesus came to pay a price, the precious price of the Lamb. You see, I'm not going to get to all these chicken nuggets. I'm going to end now. But what I'll do, I'll put it on Facebook somewhere, okay? Okay, we'll put it on Facebook. If you're not my friend, you can be my friend on Facebook. I'll put it up there tomorrow, okay? So, I'll put all this stuff because there's so many stuff that I want. But I want to share this one with you. We try to manage God by bringing him down to our level. So we go to work, we go to studies. Now we say, God, I'm going to manage you. I'm going to be in control here. I'm going to sort of manage how you work in my life. So God, when I need you, you come to me and I will then. And God does not understand that. Do you know, he's always going to love us and he's always actually going to come because he loves you so much. But then you miss out on that place of experiencing his free flow through you. Ka-twa! And I'm beginning to experience in my life, you know, I'm sitting at the robot praying for people, then people get touched. I walk thereby and I say, Lord, let the shadow heal people. God, let it heal people. Every evening before I go into the bathtub, I stand in front of that bathtub and I say, Jesus, call me to walk on this water. Because I've been dreaming since I was 9 years old to walk on water. So every evening I make myself ready. I say, Jesus, call me. I'm going to send you the video clip when I do that. Not of the bathtub, of when I walk on the seawater or on the dam water, okay? But you know what? If you read scripture like a little child and you begin to look at it and the perfection of God, you begin to say, God, I want that in my life because that's what my inheritance says. That's what you said. That's your perfection. That is, Lord, I understand that you cannot change. So you cannot, I'm not going to try and bring you down to my mind and my trying to figure you out and trying to say what you must do or what you shouldn't do. And then base my doctrine on experiences that God did not heal somebody, so God doesn't heal other people. Well, scripture says Jesus healed all. I want you to stand with me tonight. Please note, I'm not fighting with you tonight. I'm just sharing the truth. Like I said, we're going to do a bit of repentance tonight. Because, do you know what? If we look at the standard of Scripture, there's just absolutely no way that we can reach that standard. The only way you're going to reach it is by coming in a brokenness and a contriteness to God and say, God, here I am, but I want you to start to show me who you really are. Lord, I'm not going to follow you by having a cultural Christianity. I'm not, Lord, going to allow the world and this world system to dictate to me of who you are and what you want to do. Because do you know what? That's what we many times do. We walk in our lives and then we say, God, come down. Change yourself and serve me. Lord, be somebody else that you are not ready. But when you and I come with humility and we start to open up our hearts, we say, God, I cannot. I'm going to share one last story. The other evening, I was looking on the news, and then I saw of what is happening in Somalia about 10 days ago. And like I would usually pray, is say, Lord, please help me to sleep well tonight, because tomorrow morning I've got lots of ministry to do. Lord, you're going to need to give me a good night's rest. Lord, and keep the devil away. A Bible verse a day keeps the devil away. So I even quoted the scripture. I said, get behind me, Satan. I did everything that you can do. The only problem was something started to bug me a little bit about this thing that has happened in Somalia. And it's a small thing. It's probably going to be the worst humanitarian disaster that mankind has seen, if there's not intervention in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And so I can decide, well, God bless me. But then I started to pray another prayer. I said, okay, Lord, what is on your heart? How do you feel? Because I also read a story of a lady that they found that has died. The only problem is that two twins were still sucking on her breast for 2 days. And were barely alive as she was walking, trying to get over to Kenya, where there's a refugee camp of 450,000 people. Thousands of kids are dying on the way as they're walking out. And so I got some flashbacks because I started to pray a bit differently. I started to say to God, okay, God, how do you feel? What's on your heart tonight when I go to bed? And then suddenly there was a stirring in my spirit. And God said to me, and he asked me a question. He said to me, Sias, what are you going to do about it? And I was thinking, I'm busy, Lord. Ministry, very spiritual. Lives changing. People coming to salvation. Things are going to happen, Lord. We're going to have a prison outreach in 2 days. And Lord, I must be focused. Don't ask me these questions, Lord. Then it was silent. And then I started to pray again. I said, God, what is on your heart? And he said to me, what are you going to do about Somalia? You see, because when we ask God what is on his heart, he's going to show you stuff that's going to become very scary to you. You're going to get hurt. You're going to become vulnerable. You're not going to be afraid of weeping for people that you don't even know. Why? Because you connect to something of this Almighty God and what his heart says. It's not about you. So I lied there, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. And God asked me the third time, what are you going to do about it? I said, God, I don't have resources. I don't know. And I couldn't sleep that night. Next morning, we had a missions leaders thing, and I just said to the people, look here, God asked me, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to start something. Let's do something. And then Edward said, let's start a Facebook page. I said, okay. I don't really know how, but we'll do that, you know. So he started one, and then I started to email a couple of people, and I said, well, I'm not going to do church announcements, and we're not going to do, like, formulas and stuff. We're just going to say, God, I want to do something about it, but I haven't got a clue. Because I've connected with something in your heart, Lord, about how you feel. How you feel about that nation, and how you feel about our nation, how you feel about the town, how you feel about this Riz. And then things started to happen. Within 10 days, we got a small amount of about 120,000 bucks. But that's not the miracle. The miracle is I started to speak to the Muslim Council of South Africa, and we started to speak to the people, the gift of the givers, and we started to speak to people that are doing water and bottled water and people that will do boreholes. And then I realized there's no Christian disaster management fund in South Africa. It's all just Muslims because the Muslims are going there, but the Christians are just nowhere because they're just playing church. It's just wonderful to have church and have nice experience and to be in our comfort zone so that we don't feel what's actually happening in the world out there. So then I said, okay, God, we're going to start to do something about this. Let's start a disaster management NGO. And Bernie came to speak to me and DF and a couple of people. And then we started to connect with people. And so we're going to start. And we haven't got a clue, but all we know, God is doing it. And God is saying, and so on Wednesday, we're going to ship out 50,000 liters of water to Somalia. And here we go. Just bring it on, Jesus. We haven't got a clue. But Lord, we're weak here. We haven't got a clue. But all we know is we've connected with something in your heart about what you want to do. You see, then we begin to change because then we begin to realize there's a bigger God than myself. There's some things that God, that comes to, that's on God's heart that will challenge you so beyond yourself. That will be bigger than yourself. And then you'll become a history maker. Then you begin to say yes to those things that will change nations. And you know, when Trikas and these guys go to India and all that stuff, we go then, we think, I'm clueless, Lord. There's 2 billion people that have never heard the name Jesus before. 2 billion people that have never heard of the gospel. And then we preach the gospel to the same people over and over. And you go to India and you stand there and you come on the street there and you see a guy. The first time when I walked into Bangalore there, I got the shock of my life because I realized, my khona, yeah, there's a guy sitting on the street and maggots already ate all of his ear off. And I think, okay, Lord, different world, different place. I'm not saying everybody must go to India. Almost just saying is you must open up your heart because I've never been to Somalia. But tonight the challenge is very simply is how big is your God? Who is the God that you are serving or is he yet to serve you? So I'm going to ask those people that need to come to salvation. And there's some of us that have prayed a little prayer, but we've meant nothing with that prayer. We did not come to give our lives to him. We did not come to surrender everything. I'm going to ask you tonight to come and surrender your life to him. I'm not asking you to stop your studies and sell all your stuff. All I'm asking you is to make God number one. And to have no second. All I'm asking you tonight is to make God number one. And to have no second. All I'm asking you tonight is to make God number one. And to have no second. Because that's what God said. He said, you will love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. And you will worship no other idols except me. He said it over and over. And how can you do that? Well, you can't. Except if you're broken enough to say, God, I need help to love you in this way. God, I need you to come and do something because I just haven't got a clue. But Lord, in my weakness, in my brokenness, in my contriteness, I come and I ask that you restore the fear of God in my life. A healthy understanding of who you are. So if you are here tonight, and you need to come to salvation. You need to come to the lover of your soul because he died on a cross for you. Then tonight is your night of salvation. Now, some of you want to rush out here because you're busy, but the church service has barely started. It's not starting yet. It's going to start now. That's why we're here tonight and we're going to minister to one another and we're going to repent and we're going to ask God, especially for us, and I include myself as a younger generation because we have kicked the fear of God all out of church and we just become, he's become our buddy, he's become our dude, become our genie, become our whatever because we use him. We actually abuse God. Many people today, I include myself, are in a lustful relationship with God because we're only in that relationship for what we can get out of it. Love means you give. And how can we give to God? Well, because He's given first. When we stand under the cross and we say, God, how can you love me so much? I want to give back that which you have given to me, but I'm clueless. Help! Jesus, save me from myself. Save me from this world because I'm not in this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. So if you need to get to come into a living relationship with that God, tonight you need to repent of your sins. You need to turn around. You need to come to Him. You need to give everything. Is there anybody like that? Or maybe you're backslidden here tonight and you've just been playing games with God. You've been jumping from one church meeting to another church meeting. You've been going all over the place because you're just always going for the vibe, the next worship encounter, the next whatever. And then you run off and you just don't care about what the other people say because you're just selfish. It's just all about you. Then tonight you need to come and say, God, I need a Savior. But it's only... I'll post this other stuff on Facebook, but it's only the people that recognize the need that they had for God that received something from them, from Him. The others crucified Him. The ones who received a lot from Him were those who recognized they had a massive need for Him. I don't know about you, but I've got a need for God. I need Him. I need Him. Not to be my crutch, but because He's the Creator. He can speak one word over you and He can heal you tonight of your disease. He can perfect. Because He doesn't know second-hand car jobs. He doesn't operate like that. He's perfect. So when He speaks a word, that word becomes perfect. So when you pray for somebody else to get healed, that person gets healed. So if you need to get saved, I want you to raise your hand very high. If you need to come to God, and even tonight, maybe you've done that before, but you know tonight that you're just far from God, I want you to raise your hand very high, because tonight is your night of salvation. But you're going to need to come to count the cost. You're going to need to give up your life. Give up being in control. Get off the throne of your life. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Hi. Raise your hand very high. Because we're not ashamed here tonight of God. We're just saying, yes, God, here I am. I'm drowning. Save me. Anybody else? Raise your hand very high. If there's anybody like that. Thank you at the back there. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Lots of hands. Because we're not playing games here tonight. This is about eternity. And nobody walks out or nobody walks around or talks now. Because now it's eternity coming here. Now is the most important moment and the greatest miracle ever is when somebody turns and realizes and recognizes their need for Jesus. Anybody else? Raise your hand very high. That's my. We're not shy tonight. We're coming to that King. We're coming to surrender all. We're coming to say to Him, Lord, I need you. Lord, I cannot. Lots of hands going up because tonight God is going to save you. And He's going to turn your life around. He's going to give you a new life when you surrender everything to Him. Quickly, last opportunity. If you're here, you're backslidden, maybe you just know that in your heart, you're just so far from God. And tonight is your night where you return back. It's 180 degrees turn to Him. It's 180 degrees turnaround. Tonight you need to come. Quickly. If you've raised your hand, even if you're a bit shy, you didn't raise your hand. I want you to get somebody next to you or just by yourself. I want you to come right to the front. I want you to say to the people next to you, excuse me, you're not important. What I'm going to do is important now. I need to get to the front because I need to meet with my Savior. He's going to save me right now. Will you come quickly? I want you to come and stand right in front. Just come stand right here. One or two people that still need to be in front. And there's a massive war going on in your soul right now. But you cannot be a spectator tonight. You might need to make a decision. The decision is very simply, for God or against God. The decision is not to prolong it later. The decision tonight is when God says come, you come, or you reject. One of the two. It's as simple as that. It's not about fixing things later. It's about an invitation of the King of Glory the creator of the universe that says, I want to do something in your life. I want to give you life. I want to perfect something inside of you that you cannot do. But then you need to come when I invite you. If there's anybody else standing at the back there, I want everybody to make a decision tonight. It's life or death. I want you to come to the front if you're not sure. If you want to make that commitment to God. Because He's going to give, make everything new. He's going to save you. He's going to heal you. He's going to redeem your life from destruction. He's going to give you a new life. So we're going to pray a prayer together. Like I said, church just started. Where we have the opportunity to say to this Almighty God, Lord, come and make all things new. Romans chapter 1 verse 17, it says, every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. When God gives us something tonight, it is good and it is perfect, and God will not change it because He cannot change. And tonight He's going to give Himself to you, because that's what He wants to do. He's going to make you born again so that your spirit can become alive to Him. And you surrender yourself to Him, where you just say, Jesus, take everything, Lord. I feel such a mess, but just take it. Take me, Lord. Pick me tonight. Here I am. Take everything, God. And then He comes in, just based on your words, just upon your invitation, because you're raw, honest towards Him. And just, then He comes in, I'm going to say, I'm going to give you, make you a new creature. I'm going to make everything new inside. I'm going to save you. 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 Because that's what He does. He cannot do something else. So we're going to pray a prayer. And you can do your, use your own words. Is that all right? You can in your eye of word a bit. But just to make it easier, we're all going to pray together. And we're going to commit our lives to that King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to start living for Him. Will you pray with me? Let's all pray together. Lord, I stand before You, Lord, naked and ashamed, a sinner that needs a Savior. And Lord, tonight, I step down from the throne of my life, of having control over my life, and I give You my life. I surrender everything to You. I realize tonight that You perfected the work on the cross. So wash me clean tonight, Lord, by the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And save me, Lord, and give me a new life so that I can live for You and die for You and know the power of Your death and resurrection and the fellowship of Your sufferings. From tonight onwards, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives inside of me. And the life I live in this world, I live by faith in the One who came to save me and set me free and redeem me from the life of destruction and the pit of hell that I was destined to go to. So I receive that life. Jesus, I receive You. And I worship You. And I deny myself. In Jesus' name I pray. There's some of you that's been running away from God, but tonight you've come just in pure honesty, and the Lord says He makes everything new. You're going to need to count the cost. Don't look at your bad stuff, at your imperfections. God doesn't look at you. He looks at you through the blood of Jesus. Now you need to learn this road of walking with Him. You start tonight when you go home and you tell 3 people of what God did in your life tonight. And then you start to read the book of Matthew again. And you say, Jesus, the Jesus in Scripture, I want You to be real in my life. I want You to speak to me like You spoke to Zacchaeus. And you want, then instead of using the word name is Zacchaeus, you put your own name there. What's your name? Johnny. Then you say, Johnny one day climbed up into a tree and he was waiting for Jesus to come by. And everybody said, But you're not a shorty, Johnny. Let's find a short. No. Johnny, I'm expecting that when Jesus is going to come by, I'm going to invite him to come and eat with me. And so then tomorrow when you eat breakfast and when you eat lunch, you just say, Jesus, come, I want to know you. You start to read scripture in your person because it becomes alive. And then you say, Holy Spirit, come and show me Jesus. Come and bring a fragrance. And tonight, Johnny, for you, I felt the Lord says that he's removing a lot of baggages from you. There's been like a heaviness on you that you've been carrying for months, more than 9 months. And he's come to set you free. He's come to remove that cement here on your life. And all the pressures that you were in to try and be and try and do and all of that stuff, the Lord is just releasing you tonight to be his son. You don't need to try. You don't need to walk in, ever walk in somebody else's shadow, Johnny. Okay? Don't try and be like somebody else. You're authentic before God. You're his son. It's Afrikaans. Okay? En vanaand sê die Here vir al hierdie mense vir jou, sy juk is maklik om te dra, okay? Jy het soos like a massive heart vir God. En mense het al om jou gesê, maar jy het nie 'n pure heart nie, en jy moet maar net harder probeer, en jy moet net so georganiseerd wees. Maak dit sens vir jou, okay? Baie woorde wat mense al oor jou gesprek het, maar vergeet van daai woorde. En kom na Jesus toe en vra vir die Vader, sê, Here, wys vir my wat u vir my sê. You come and show me what you think about me. You come and reveal yourself to me, the Jesus of the Bible. Here's a lady that drew a picture for you. The Lord is unlocking this riches to you. He is your ultimate treasure. I want some of you, when you come to church, God is going to give you pictures to draw for people. God is going to give you words. When you come to church, you don't come to receive. You come to give. Because you're serving God. Find a way to bless somebody. Find a way to pray for somebody. I want to encourage all of you. Look up at me. Look at up at me. You don't need to be ashamed. You don't need to be perfect. That's not what God is expecting. What's your name? Huh? Hector. The mighty man Hector. Huh? Hector, no turning back. No turning back. You've come to this point before, but God is saying to you, no turning back, okay? No turning back. And all the stuff that people try to peer pressure and all that stuff, all you want to do is please God. And say, God, you're my number one tonight. Okay? No turning back. You're not going to come to this place. You're not going to stand here in front again. You're going to stand on the mountain. You're going to shout, my God is good. All the time. Okay, Hector? Is that right? Okay. What's your name? Linky. Linky, kan ek maar met jou gesels? Okay. Weet jy wat? Die Here sê vir jou, jy is so beautiful for him. Weet jy dit, dat jy is so beautiful for him. En baie keer dink jy is 'n bietjie skaam en nou, al die mense, al die stuff. Ek wil jy sê dat God vind a beauty in jou. En dit is soos 'n sonneblom wat net oopmaak vir hom. En jy just say, yes God, I want to shine your glory. So dat almal wat gaan verbyloop gaan sê, wow, wat gaan hier aan? Okay. Dis wat Jesus doen. Wanneer ons lewens inkom, Lentjie. Okay. Jy wees daai sonneblom vir God. Okay. There's some of you that's got some fears and stuff, but God wants to remove that in your life. And I want to just say to all of you that you are so precious to God. We're taking off the time here because we're not in a rush. Because we want to tell you, you're the most important people here tonight. When somebody turns and repents and turns back to God, it's a moment where heaven stands still, so we're also standing still. Heaven is rejoicing as to what you said to Jesus right now. And now you just need to walk in that way. I need to pray for this lady. What is your name? What is your name? Beverly, God has been working in your life in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And the devil has been coming against you with fear and confusion, but I break that in Jesus' name. I break the lies of the devil. Because tonight is a turning point. And Lord, that sleeplessness and even that stuff, Lord, that is not working. It just seems, Lord, there's so many stuff coming. But we say, peace, be still. Every storm in this life, we command you to be still tonight. We command you to submit to the voice and the word of God. We command you, release and let go of her in Jesus' name now. And thank you, God, just for your mysteries that you want to reveal over her. God, thank you for the prophetic over her life. Thank you, Lord, that she's going to see and speak, Lord. She's never going to be afraid again to speak. She's just going to release your word. And thank you tonight for freedom. And Lord, just for releasing over her. Because, Lord, mourning will be turned into dancing. Even tonight in her life, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's somebody that's going to just pray with you quickly. If you can turn to the right and just go that side, I think you're going to go out that door. Follow the hand there. Okay? Okay. We're going to just spend 5 minutes praying with you, and then you're going to come back as we're going to worship God together. So we just want to say to you, go, go, go. Yeah, let's give them a round of applause. They're just so amazing when people start to turn. Where's the band? Robert, you guys, won't you come up? Now we're going to do a little bit what we have promised. That we're going to repent a little bit tonight. But repentance isn't a hard thing. It's just acknowledging where you are at with God. And then surrendering yourself to Him. So I'm going to ask you very honestly tonight. Maybe you're here. And you've had the wrong expectation of God and of people, and people have hurt you, and you were not wrong. You just got offended. But you've got a problem. You are offended because people let you down, or the prayers that you prayed were not answered. God didn't come through for you, and now there's this little doubt in your life just as to God, are you really real? If you say you're good, if you say you're perfect, but why is my life in such a mess? And you've got this massive question mark around the goodness and the character of God. And the Lord wants you to release Him from that, because that thing holds you back from experiencing Him for real it is. It's an offense. And some of you are offense prone because you're always, especially people that come out of a background of fear and rejection, you're always just looking for somebody to hurt you. Because that's what you experience in your life. But it's a massive cycle, and you've not seen it, but you're going to see it right now. That you will walk into a situation and your radars will always be on as to what people say and how they react on you, what they say about you. And it's just like rejection, because you're just so afraid that people are going to reject you. But the problem is, when you come to God, exactly the same thing happens. You're so afraid that this God is going to hit you over the head. He's going to hurt you. He's actually just going to walk away and say, no good. Worthless, not good enough for me, not perfect, reject. That's a lie from the pit of hell, because that keeps you from experiencing Him and just coming to Him. And so you just get offended, you run off from one church to another or whatever, and you just run around, but there's no real covenant relationships, because you don't even know where to start. Tonight you're going to be healed, you're going to be set free, but you just need to let go of that offense. You need to say, God, I actually, these people that have a debt that they owe me, they must actually come and make right. But God, I just realized that I need to forgive. I need to release them. Lord, I need to release myself of unforgiveness towards myself, of things that I've done wrong, because I think I must be perfect. And because before this thing is not going to be sorted out, you're never going to receive me. And you know, God just wants to heal you. He wants to bring you close to Himself. He wants to release, say over you, you're my son, you're my daughter. I'm so pleased with you. Before you do anything, is that what He said over Jesus? Jesus didn't pray for one sick person, or rose one sick dead person from the dead, or saved anybody. He was 30 years old. He did nothing. He just made a bunch of benches and couches. And then God said to Him, you're my son. I'm well pleased with you. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are before Him. If that's you tonight, I want you to quickly come up and come and stand on my left-hand side here. God is speaking to you, and you want that cycle to be broken over your life. A cycle of offense, a cycle of rejection, a cycle of hurt, of just always experiencing pain in church, out of church, in family, out of family. You can see there's just like havoc in your family. We're going to pray that God is going to set you free. But it's only when you're weak. It's only when you come to Him and say, God, I realize this cycle in my life. I realize that people hurt me. They walk over me. I get offended. But tonight I'm going to ask you, Lord, that you show me what you feel about me and what you feel over me. And Lord, I'm going to ask that you begin to release that, because your perfection comes into my weakness here. And Lord, I'm not going to allow these lies anymore. If that's you, won't you come quickly to the front? Because God is going to do a deep work in your life tonight. But it's only Him that can do that. It's not a fancy prayer. It's not a nice song. It's only when you're broken before Him. The second group of people here, God has been speaking to you about the fear of God tonight. And you have brought God down to your level of understanding. And you feel specifically convicted tonight because you know that something must change because you've tried to put God in a box. And He's still good and He's still loving. But there's something missing in your relationship with God. It's just called the fear of God. It's just you can't see how big He is because your circumstances always look bigger than what He is because you try to bring Him into your circumstances instead of stepping out of your circumstances and connecting with Him and worshiping Him and saying how big He is so that when you see how big He is and how small your circumstances are, you can say, "Whoa, thank you, Jesus. You've already finished the work. You've perfected it on the cross." If that's you tonight, I want you to step out to my right-hand side here. I want you to quickly come. Because we're going to worship God. But specifically, if you feel convicted, or maybe you can just stand on that left-hand side if you're coming from that side. This is not about a little altar call or about a little prayer, but this is about your heart. We've been speaking about your heart tonight. And I'm taking the time and we're prolonging the service. And some of you are tense, but you know, you just relax. Because it's not about what we can do tonight. It's just about our surrender. It's about saying to Jesus, "Lord, here I am. I'm a broken vessel. But you've been playing games with God. And you love God. You do all the right stuff. But you've been praying the wrong prayers and you've been looking in the wrong place. And God is going to just do something in your heart tonight. He's going to set you free from a selfishness and a self-beheptate, a self-idolatry, a self-righteousness where everything in your relationship with God goes about you. And very simply, it just means you make Jesus Lord of your life. Lord means owner, possessor. Do with me whatever you want to. Here I am, Lord. I give you control." If that's you, I want you to come out. That second group, we're going to kneel a little bit before God. And we're not going to try anything. The third group of people are here. You feel that you need to be perfect before God. You're trying to fix your life. And maybe you're already standing here in front. But there's something inside of you that says, "I need to be perfect," or "I need to be good before God is going to accept me." And you just need to come to the cross again tonight and say to God, "God, thank you that you allow me to make mistakes. Thank you that you allow me, Lord, to stand before you and just, Lord, be clueless sometimes." And you don't, I can tell you, if I must keep you busy tonight of all the mistakes I make, I'm very impulsive. I see a thing and then I go for it. I'm always 3 steps ahead of God. And I bump my head 3 times and I run, turn around, and then I bump it again, and I turn around and I bump it again, and there I go. And then God probably says to his angels, "Oh, there goes Cias again. Just go and rescue him this time. The 3rd time he's going to break his nose. Just let's do something, yeah?" But I've understood that God makes, he works everything together for good to those who are love him and are called according to his purpose. Because my heart's desire is to fulfill his purpose. To do, to be obedient. So won't you come quickly if that's you? And then the last group, those who need healing physically in your body. You need physical healing in your body. I want you to come and stand right here in front on my left-hand side because we're going to anoint you. We're going to pray for you. There's specifically somebody that has got intense, you get intense cramps on your left-hand side of your body. It's like cramps on your left hand side, your leg down here, there's lots of cramps. Where's that person? I want to pray for you specifically. Is that you? Okay, well, you come and stand right here with me. There's a lady in your left ear. You've got either an infection or a deafness in your left ear, but there's like you cannot hear properly in your left ear, and God is going to restore your ear tonight. Where are you? I want to pray for you specifically. I can't really see what's happening here, but I want you to come and stand. Is that you? I want you to come and stand right here in front. There's somebody here that has got a crooked feet. Your feet are not straight. And it's been a great embarrassment to you in many ways. It's sort of you like have a... Your foot is not... Your feet are not lekker. And we're going to pray that God does a miracle. He's going to make those feet straight. Because that's what He can do. We can't do it. He can do it. If you're that person, I don't want to embarrass you, but I want you to walk out right to the front. want you to walk right to the front. Those people that need healing, why don't you come and stand right here so that we can just know who you are. What are we going to do tonight? We're going to do it a bit different. We're going to come to Jesus. We're going to worship Him. We're going to ask Him. Like we did at the SOS training yesterday, while we were speaking of healing, a guy jumped up. He just said, I'm healed already. You don't need to pray for me. Because it's not the prayer. It's your heart that you open up to God and say, Jesus, heal me. Then He's going to heal you. You don't need somebody to pray for you. Did you know that? You can just trust the Word of God. Just trust in Jesus. So as you open up yourself and you ask Him, say, Jesus, heal me. He's going to heal you. Are you ready for that? There's somebody here with hip problems. Hip problems, and God wants to heal your hip problems. Is that you? Okay, we're going to pray for you. If I get specific words, I want you to come and stand right here in front, because we're going to pray this specific anointing to pray for you, but we're going to pray for everybody. Okay. There's liver. Somebody's got liver problems or liver cancer. Maybe it's a family member of yours. I want you to come quickly. Is there anybody like that? Maybe it's a family member and you need to stand in the gap tonight. Is that you? Okay, come and stand right here. Liver problems or liver cancer. Okay. Back problems. Lower back problems up into your spine. Back problems. I want you to also come and stand here in front. There are two people here tonight. You've lost the desire to live. In this week, there's one person in the last 8 days, and there's another person in the last 3 or 4 days. You wanted to give up on living, and you know exactly what that means. Tonight, God extends to you life. There's a lady specifically, one of them are a lady, and the Lord is so just wooing you to come to Him. He wants to give you the ability not to give up. I want to ask those two people, won't you come to the front quickly? Where are you? Two people that wanted to give up on life this last 8 and 3 and 4 days. I want you to come quickly. Won't you come? Come and stand right here in front. Because the Lord is going to give you life. He's going to give you virtue tonight. I don't want you to be ashamed, but I want you to come quickly. Because God has made provision for you. He wants to take that spirit of death over your life. He wants to remove it. Is there anybody like that? Won't you come quickly? Is that you? Come and stand here quickly. Okay. Come and stand right here. We're going to cancel the spirit of death over your life. Okay? Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I need 3 ladies facilitators to come and stand quickly here. Lord, we break the spirit of death in Jesus' name that has come to visit her. In Jesus' name. We break it in Jesus' name. No longer. Every demon in Jesus' name, you go. Spirit of suicide, spirit of death that has come over the families, in Jesus' name, we cast you out and we rebuke you over this family, every curse of death, and we just release the love of God. We release the love of the Father. We release the Father's embrace. We release the protection of God. We thank you, God. No death, no voices of death, no, Lord, but just life. Life tonight. No fear of death anymore in Jesus' name. But we release your love and your life. We release the kingdom of God over them in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for deliverance and setting them free tonight, Lord, because of your love and because of the cross. And we say the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. You will not come near them because there's a wall between you and them. It's the blood of Jesus. There's a divine protection, and we pray for a surrounding of that divine protection now in Jesus' name. No longer sleepless nights, no longer tormenting in Jesus' name, no longer those voices in Jesus' name. We just release the love of God and the peace of God over these storms in Jesus' name. You just cry out to Jesus. Will you do that? He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Did you know that? He loves you so much. And He's here. He's going to protect you now. He's putting His arms around you. Okay? Okay, He's putting your arms in. You're worth something. He's placed His blood on your life. You're worth something. You're worth living. And nobody can take that life from you because you're in His hands, okay? You're worth living. And Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus over them in Jesus' name. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that witnesses of that love and of your life over them. Lord, release your virtue over them in Jesus' name. If you still need healing, why don't you come to the front quickly? We're not playing games when we come to church. People's lives are at stake. When you go out there tomorrow, people's lives are at stake. Do you guys need prayer that are standing here? You're just coming. You just want to be where God is. Oh, wonderful. Okay. So we're going to just pray. But I want you to pray differently because there are just too many people standing in front. I want you to reach out to Jesus Himself. Will you do that? Some of you have not done that for a while, but I want you to tell Jesus who He is in your life. Don't come with your problems. Come and say, Jesus, You are my healer. Worship Him. Tell Him who He is so that He can be that in your life. Okay? Did you want to share something? We're gonna just ask that. Will you just close your eyes? And I know we're prolonging the service a little bit, but when God comes, we do, and we just release. Will you just sing a chorus? Do you wanna?
Church, you know, tonight, Silas really made a remarkable statement when he repented on behalf of the leadership of not giving the full gospel in its entirety and its truth. And I think God took special note of that, and to the extent that that represents the leadership of the church, I think we should applaud both him and the Lord for that great mercy. But you know what? The Lord has called each of us into a royal priesthood, and you are not going to get off the hook simply because you have poor leadership. I want to read something in Scripture that I think is going to help all of us, and I think it's going to set a grounds for additional repentance, not from the leadership, but from us. It's in Acts chapter 17, verse 10. Now, this is Paul actually having left Thessalonica because the people there were not receptive to the Word of God. And here's what the Holy Spirit says, and I think we all should listen to this. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, these, the Bereans, were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. Now, listen why. In that they received the word of God with all readiness. And here's the important part. And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The Holy Spirit has clearly placed in our hands the responsibility of searching Scripture for ourselves to make sure what leadership says lines up with the Word of God. He's expecting a bride who is mature and who is ready to reign with Him. And the only way you get there is by knowing Him and knowing the Word. Once you have a fear of the Lord and a love of the Word and you study it, you will not be deceived. You will be secure in the embrace of the Father. And that's what He's calling all of us to repent and to do.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to acknowledge there's some other people, some other pastors from SCAS here as well tonight. Where are you, some leaders? Where are you guys? 12 people from SCAS, are you over there? We just want to acknowledge, thank you for joining us. We're going to have some, and we just want to say this is just broad for all of us. So we're going to just worship God, and you're going to just tell Him. Say, God, here I am, I repent. Well, here I am, Lord, You're my healer. Heal me tonight. And then you repent, okay? As we just turn our hearts to God. So Lord, here we are, we just before You. And tonight, Lord, we thank You for the freedom in this house because of the blood of Jesus. And tonight we turn our hearts back to You, Lord, especially the church in the West. We are so backslidden, so comfortable, so, Lord, in our own things, Lord. But we want to do, Lord, we want to come back to our first love, our first desires, Lord. And that's You, Lord, where You become number one in everything we do and everything we say, Lord. When we breathe You, when we speak You, when we move You, when we sleep, Lord, when we wake up, Lord, it's all about You, God. It's all about just fulfilling, Lord, and pleasing You and Lord, being before You, Lord, and walking with You because we want to say God is with us, God. Just like with Jesus, because God was with us, Lord. Lord, You're not going to be wallpaper anymore in our lives, Lord. You're not going to be a little bit here and a little bit there, Lord, where we just try You and meet You, Lord, and invite You into our small groups, invite You into our church services, but for the rest, Lord, we just actually don't care. But tonight we say, come, Jesus. Come, Lord, and be who You really are as we come to You. Hallelujah. You just speak. You just pray yourself as God leads on your life. There's lots of people that are sitting here, and you need to deal with God tonight. You need to say to Him, open up your heart. That's all He's asking, is a broken and a contriteness. So no spectators, as we're going to just worship God just for a moment, let's respond to Him. And then I need some facilitators to come help me to pray for the sick people here. But you first pray to Him.